Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 36. It's really good to have you here. And today I'm very, very excited about this topic. We are going to be talking about a really, really important aspect that I teach from in my work. I don't talk about this a lot openly, even on Instagram, or even in my coaching and my courses. It depends on who I'm working with, but this is, I guess it's a tool and a way of seeing things in my work that come from both Celtic traditions and from shamanic traditions. And we're going to be having a conversation about spirituality and how that links to the body, non-linear thinking, and how that relates to our recovery journey, our wellness, and also our menstrual cycle. So this episode is called Have You Met Your Inner Wise Woman, Your Kalyak Energy, and Your Jaguar? And I have phrased it like that intentionally because I'm pulling from different traditions, different wisdom traditions that teach this material and that work with this material. But for me, being a student of various traditions, I can see overlaps and how things mirror each other. So really, it's the same stuff we're working with: energy and emotion and time and the light, and it'll all make sense in a minute. But the frameworks that I'm going to introduce you to are ancient frameworks that use language in a very particular way, and metaphor and symbolism and archetypes. And so you get to decide which metaphors you like and which you'd like to work with, or what words you'd like to work with, and what kind of how you'd like to frame these things, because it's just metaphors and symbolic language for the body and the mind and the soul for that kind of work we're doing. Okay, so with this idea of your inner wise woman, your kayak energy, and your jaguar, I'd love to introduce you to this framework that comes from Celtic spirituality, which is the spirituality that we had. It was a land-based spirituality in Ireland that was here before Christianity. And it was very much linked to the land and the light and the seasons and even the cycles of women and Irish mythology and Irish folklore. And I know a lot of you are based in Ireland, so you are familiar with this, but for people who, or maybe you're based in Ireland and you're not so familiar with this, and then there's people who are living in different countries listening to this who might be familiar with this, or this might be new for you. But I know when I learned about this stuff, even though I didn't really fully know it in my head, I felt like I knew it just in my body. It was like this innate wisdom that I now had language for. So coming back again to this Celtic tradition of spirituality, there are a lot of amazing Celtic teachers, there are a lot of amazing Celtic poets and writers and artists who either teach this or whose work is influenced by this. And I was very lucky in my early 20s to embark on, it's called a shamanic medicine wheel. So essentially it's kind of like a training in this work in the Celtic tradition with a woman in Wicklow. And even though I don't teach this work directly and advertise myself as such, it's very much influenced how I work and how I navigate myself, my creativity, how I hold space for people. And yeah, and I do bring it into my courses and I bring it into my one-to-one work as well, if relevant or if people are curious about it. So do keep that in mind. So we're going to start with this Celtic wheel. Okay, so if you have been to Ireland, or if you've been in Ireland, you might be aware that there are a lot of places in Ireland, particularly in the countryside, that have these kind of sacred, ancient sacred Celtic sites. So it could be stone circles, or a lot of you might be familiar with a very ancient, I think it's a Neolithic tomb called Newgrange. I think it's about an hour north of Dublin. And at the solstice, so in on the 21st of December, which is the shortest day of the year, the day of the year where the dark is the dominant energy and the light is, you know, the least, the light that comes in comes into the passageway into the tomb and lights up the chamber. And it's set up in this way that, or it was designed by these ancient people, these ancient Celts, who understood the physics of light and dark and the planets and the stars and the equinoxes and the solstices. And they built this incredible chamber. And I've been there. I haven't been there on the 21st. You have to get on a waiting list to be, you know, it's very difficult to be present there because it's a very small chamber. But I've been there. I visited it several years ago with my brother and my mother. And they did a kind of a light simulation. And I was quite young and I didn't really understand all this stuff or have much appreciation for it. But I remember being in that chamber and I remember the how dark it was. It was so viscerally dark. And when they simulated the light coming in on the solstice kind of imaginary day, it was just incredible. So I remember the feeling that I had of this light coming in and it just illuminated the chamber for a few minutes. And yeah, it was very special. So that's a memory that I hold very dear. And I'd love to go back. I must go back there. It hasn't been on my mind and with COVID and everything. But that's kind of the introduction to this idea of Celtic spirituality and this idea of light and dark. And it's very much linked to the menstrual cycle. And we'll get to that in a minute. So bear with me. We are talking here about kind of the spiritual side of this work that is rooted in, again, like I said, symbology, ancient wisdom, archetypes and, you know, different language. But the Celtic mind, similar to the shamanic mind, you know, we in our lives today, like modern people, particularly in the West, okay, here in Ireland, in America, etc., in Europe, we do think very linearly. We think with this kind of logical side of our brain. And it's very much like problem solution. And, you know, problems are bad and we need to always focus on the solution. We need to always focus on the action, on the output, on the productivity, on, you know, the sort of the perception of things, on how things are presented, and less so much on the uncertainty or the messiness or the dark or the fear or, you know, death itself even is a taboo in our culture. And the Celtic mind and the shamanic mind had a very different way of thinking. They had a very integrated balance to the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain, so the more logical side and the more creative side. And they thought more in these cyclical terms, and they had this systemic view of things, and they honored each season of the year as it was, and there was equal respect for the light and the dark, the sun and the moon, you know, and the different elements as well. So it was very much about life and death, things not being linear, but things being cyclical. And then this idea of integration and moving in a different way through things. Okay. So that's kind of how I want to set up this conversation, is we're kind of using two parts of our brains to think about things rather than trying to sort of solve a solution here. We're trying to like be present with this material. Okay. So with the Celtic wheel, and the Celtic wheel essentially, it's these festivals around the year that the Celts would have celebrated. And we're going to just focus on one particular festival, and that's to do with your inner wise woman or your Cailleach energy. And I'm going to explain in a minute what that is, and your Jaguar, and I'll explain why I'm using that word. But if you think about the autumn, okay, the autumn equinox, and I'm going to speak to this from the Northern Hemisphere, but it'll be the same, but reverse for people living in the Southern Hemisphere, because I know you're there too, okay? I've got you. But in the autumn equinox, so for here in Ireland, that's in September. Equinox is a word that comes from, obviously, from equal. That's where you have equal amounts of light and dark in the day. So that's equal. Obviously, in the summer, we have a lot more sun and a lot more light, and particularly in Ireland, anywhere that's very north or that's very west or north and west will have a lot of light during the day. And in the summer solstice here in Ireland, you know, the light extends up until I think it's like 10:30 or 11 p.m., you know, which is really amazing. So we have these really long days and then we have these really, really short days in the depth of winter. So by the time we come to, so after the summer solstice, we come to the autumn equinox. So that's again, September, equal amounts of light and dark. And then as we move from September into October, we have in October at Halloween, so the 31st of October, we have a Celtic festival that's called Samhain. Okay, Samhain. And I'm going to put the notes in the, I'm going to write that in the show notes so you can see the spelling of that. And so the Samhain, it's the time of year where the dark is starting to become really dominant. So we're moving from equal amounts to, oh, the dark is more dominant. And that's, we also have the change of clocks as well. Okay. And then we have the transition from Samhain to winter solstice. And remember, in the episode that I did, episode 9 on the inner autumn, I talked about the inner autumn of the menstrual cycle. And autumn itself as a season is a more transition season. There's a lot more moving parts in autumn. There's a lot more shifting energy, like, you know, and it can feel like the rug is pulled from underneath our feet in these transition seasons, particularly in the autumn, because of this, you know, we live in a culture that's very much focused on stability and answers and productivity and certainty. So the autumn is, this energy is coming in, the dark energy is coming in, and then we're transitioning towards from Samhain, the 31st of October, towards the winter solstice, which is the 21st of December here in the Northern Hemisphere. Okay, so that's what's happening on a practical level in terms of the seasons and the light and the dark, and then obviously temperatures as a result of that. Okay, it gets colder and you have to warm up, etc. So when we look at that from this sort of spiritual, psychosomatic perspective, the Celtic perspective of what the symbolism is of this dark energy, this is known in the Celtic wheel as, and I know, and I'm very aware that I'm using the gendered language, so the feminine, it's this feminine energy, but again, you can choose your language. It can be, in Chinese medicine, they talk about the yin and the yang, so that this feminine darkness is also known as the yin, or it can be the shadow side or the dark. You know, then you can also use just contemporary language like giving and receiving. So giving would be the light and receiving is that receptive, more feminine yin energy, or action versus being. So it would be being, or it, we can use the terms that Alexandra and Shani use in Red School. They use the terms, and this is taken from John Keats, the via negativa, okay, the way of the unknown. And that's also, I think that's actually also referred to in Bible scripture as well. So I'm not so familiar with that, but I have a feeling it is. But it's this kind of energy of the unknown, the dark, the feminine, receiving, being versus action. Okay. So I want you to kind of think about that for a second. So again, choosing your own language, and essentially really, it's not so much the language that matters. It's more the concepts. And these concepts are, if you think about it, they're really essences. They're capturing qualities of life itself and qualities of what it is to be human. Okay, we all need action in our life and we all need rest in our life. But because we live in this very productivity oriented world, you know, we give more time and respect to certain qualities over others. So it's really important to find your own language for this and your own understanding, because it'll present differently for you than it does for me. It'll present differently for so many people. And it's really important that we understand this from both a psychological level for ourselves, a physical level, and we'll get to the menstrual cycle in a minute, an emotional level, and then a spiritual level. Okay. So talking about qualities, this kind of dark energy, I want to just talk about what kind of qualities that would be. So that would be the unknown. And obviously that's a really, you know, who talks about that? Like, that's a big part of life, is the unknown and our relationship with the unknown and uncertainty. Okay, so uncertainty, moving into the shadow part of ourselves, the mess, the chaos. It can show up as disturbance, death and dying, and this idea of letting go and surrender. Even parts of ourselves that we don't like, our own inner shadow. So, and I'm not talking about kind of the superficial parts we don't like the way we look or whatever, or the way our legs are shaped, but really, like, you know, our inner critic towards other people, or our jealousy, or our capacity to, you know, get really angry and potentially cause harm to people, things we did or said or thought about others or about ourselves, you know, the really uncomfortable stuff, which, by the way, is all really normal. And so this dark energy we all have, and they're all aspects of what it is to be human. But again, because we live in this kind of more sort of masculine energy, a light or action oriented energy, whatever language you want to choose, is more respected in the world. We haven't really spent a lot of time getting to know this side of who we are, you know. And even if you think about the seasons and the festivals we have in the West here in our modern lives, like Christmas, like I think it was like a few days after Halloween. And traditionally in the Celtic calendar, the time between Halloween and Christmas is the dark, and it's encouraged to, you know, build a relationship with our own inner darkness, if you will, and all those darker aspects of who we are and the kind of the shadow side. But geez, I was out in town and it was like only a few days after Halloween, they had like Christmas lights everywhere and, you know, all the Christmas decorations in the shops and everything. So you even see in society, it's just like this race to always be in the light, this race for light, and never any space for this kind of darkness, you know. So to think about that, to really think about like, wow, how has our culture shaped me and my own relationship with this stuff? Okay, so we're going to come to this cailleach. So C-A-I-L-L-E-A-C-H is an Irish word, which means like the hag or the kind of rejected old woman in society, or the witch. And this is an archetype that you can think about when you're working with this energy or this, you know, these aspects of humanity or life itself. And it comes from the Celtic, again, this Celtic wheel, this inner cailleach. So the inner cailleach is that kind of suppressed anger, the inner wise woman, the no time for bullshit part of you, boundaries, clarity, the ability to be with real strong tension. Okay, so this is another thing about the premenstrual phase, and I'll talk about that in a minute, is when we are in that premenstrual phase, all these feelings can come up and, you know, we can lash out at people. And that can be a sign that we don't really have this connection to that inner cailleach, kind of inner wise woman, inner witch kind of energy, whatever language you want to use for it. And the more we come into relationship with it, the more we face ourselves and the more we can be with what's really true for ourselves. The premenstrual time, this inner, or this in the Celtic wheel as well, the Samhain, it's really the truth seeking time of the year as well. And I'm also going to refer to the shamanic tradition, because that's something I've studied too, is when I'm talking about shamanic, I mean the of Native Americas. You know, they use the symbol of power animals, and the power animal that is symbolic for this time of year and for this time of the cycle is the jaguar. At least that is from the tradition I've been taught. And the direction is the west. And then also the ancestors are part of that as well. And so the jaguar in the Native American shamanic tradition symbolizes this sort of organizing power. So it's a very powerful animal that can really cause chaos, sudden change, destruction. But the gift in that is transformation. Okay, so if you think about it again, using that cyclical brain, they looked at like the Celts and the shamans, and like hopefully now us too, we can think about life and parts of our lives and parts of who we are as always changing. We're always changing, you know. Life goes in cycles. We have the menstrual cycle, we have the cycles of the year, we have, you know, life stages as well. And unfortunately, but thankfully too, part of that is chaos and death and letting go. And they never really sort of, you know, death for them wasn't a bad thing. It was just seen as a process that had to happen as, and you know, as the natural order of things. If you think about the seasons, like death is part of autumn and winter, and from that we get spring and renewal and rebirth. And so if we force things to stay the same, they perish. Whereas if we allow for things to change, then they it allows for renewal and allows for life itself. So that wisdom, now I have studied that under the shamanic studies that I took, but I will reference a book here called Shaman, Healer, Sage by Alberto Villaldo, Dr. Alberto Villaldo, which is very interesting. It's all about the shamanic traditions. And yeah, so to think about that, they as all like symbols of how we can kind of conceptualize this Celtic shamanic life cycle. Okay, so what does this mean for you? So this energy can be present with the seasons of the year. So you can very much feel, and ever since I've been kind of initiated into this work, I certainly feel its pull on me every time we move through this Samhain to solstice energy, that dark phase of the year. And what that looks like is things in my life get stirred up. So it could be relationship stuff, it could be emotional stuff, it could be work related stuff. But generally speaking, I'm being challenged at quite a core part of me, and there's a lot of emotional processing occurring. And it took a few years for me to realize, oh, this is happening at this time of year. That's really interesting. So now I don't think about this every day. It's just that I was thinking about it the other day. I was attending a workshop. We were talking about this, and, you know, things happen circumstantially in my life. And then I kind of feel the tug, if you will, of that inner Kalyak energy. And I'm like, oh, okay, I've been resisting this, obviously, because I'm human and I don't want to face difficult feelings. And then I kind of feel like, oh, okay, I really need to start to lean into some of these difficult emotions. And I'll talk about how we can do that in a minute. So it can be practically this time of year, or it can be any time in your year. It can be this energy coming in and you can name it as such, or it can be also a time in your cycle, or it could be a time in your life as well. So it can be very practical things, and even things like breakups, job changes, job losses, moving country, you know, where life is almost like presenting you with options, and you kind of know deep down inside that the difficult decision is the right one for your soul. That's the kind of the stuff I'm talking about, where it's easy to just go along with things, and you might have gone along with things for a few years or for a while, but deep down inside, you know that something's not right and you have to make a really difficult decision. And it could be like a relationship breakup, or leaving a job, or, you know, maybe there's unprocessed grief from the past that you need to sort of face now. And it's never this energy, this time, like, it's never pretty. It's always messy. It's very transformative. It's very chaotic. And it usually has an element of fear to it as well. Okay. And then I'm going to introduce you now to another word, which you might have heard before, which is the void. So the void, again, it's another word to explain all of your circumstances in this stuff. So the void is essentially, again, the time of year where it's in that dark phase before the light starts to come back in the winter solstice. So where it's this, like, what the hell am I doing? You're questioning yourself. It's a dark night of the soul time. Okay. And this can happen. You can be in a void for years. You can be in a void for a few days or a few weeks, or it can actually genuinely feel like you're in a voidy place this time of year as well. Okay. Which is very normal. We need to normalize this stuff and then talk about it together and find ways to navigate it. That's kind of what I'm getting to. Now, with the menstrual cycle, because that's also cyclical, and the way I teach and coach is very much menstrual cycle awareness, and it's very much informed by this energy work, this energy wisdom, this Celtic wisdom, the shamanic wisdom, and navigating these parts in ourselves. So this is represented by the kind of halfway point in your inner autumn to a day or two before you start bleeding. Okay, so that a few days, say it could be a week or a few days before you menstruate. That's that kind of voidy place where PMS can, not always does, but can get louder. You can feel like you're completely losing yourself. You know, this is where PMDD presents generally, you know, and then PMS, irritation, confusion, a lot of emotion, you know, the shadow side of yourself starts to come to the surface. And the lovely thing about this work and the menstrual cycle is, you know, your body is going to throw this stuff at you. If you continue to ignore this for years, like, you know, which I did, which I know a lot of you are doing, and we will continue to do this. We're not, like, you know, perfect. We're not shamans here, right? But we are humans trying to live in society. But generally speaking, this energy can present itself as symptoms, and it'll start knocking on your door and start screaming louder. So it's really important when we're working with the cyclical brain and the cyclical body and the cyclical seasons that we start to build safety and trust and build a relationship. It doesn't mean we have to like it. You know, we don't have to like this part of the cycle and the seasons, but we have to have space for it in our lives, for this shadow element and this energy to be there. Okay. And then again, it can also be represented generally by the perimenopause in and of itself as a kind of time where women and people with menstrual cycles, you know, can be really difficult for some people. It's like, I've spoken to women who literally went through whole personality changes and their whole life was just up in the air during that time. So that's also very real and also needs to be normalized. Okay. So the last part I want to talk about is what are the practical things, Lisa? How can I come into relationship with this stuff, with this energy, with this, the way of the unknown, this inner Kalyak or this inner Jaguar energy, or my inner wise woman? Okay. So I want you to think about focusing on building trust and safety. That's really, really important, is building safety and trust. We haven't learned that from society, generally speaking. This stuff is very taboo and it's pathologized, even in psychology and particularly for women. Okay, so we have to build safety, even safety to fall apart. So getting support is really important. I have a podcast on that. Giving yourself lots of space and time, lots of self-care, lots of gentleness, lots of nervous system regulation, lots of things that are soothing for the soul, you know, moving away from perfectionism and needing to have the house in order, because I think that can sometimes, at least for me, that can sometimes be an expression of anxiety. But letting things be in a bit of disorder and coming back to your soul, like, what does your soul need here? What does your inner wise woman need? And spending time with her or with them, maybe journaling or talking with them on a walk, talking it out in therapy or whatever with me. You can also take a journaling prompt. I use this journaling prompt in my groups. So put this at the top of your page. My inner wise woman is knocking at the door. Dot, dot, dot. My inner wise woman is knocking at the door. Dot, dot, dot. And you can just free write for 10, 15 minutes or whatever and see what happens. So just building a relationship with it, having conversations. And also another thing can be really helpful is having a spiritual practice. So that could be prayer. It could be meditation. It could be dance. It could be, you know, your sort of quiet walks in nature. It could be going to church. It could be, you know, being in a group of some kind or a 12-step group or, you know, tarot cards, whatever it is you have to have. Well, I don't think you have to, but I would suggest having a spiritual practice at whatever way you feel comfortable with that, or and having tools. Like, I also love the arts. For me, poetry is a very supportive nourishment for the tool, particularly sort of soul-based poets, land-based poets. Yeah, ancient kind of wisdom that's coming through poetry, a lot of Irish poetry. I've written down here self-care. And yeah, and then again, to remind you, I have episode 13 of this podcast is all about building safety with your dark feelings and thoughts. So you can give that a listen. And I have episode 9, which is a kind of more practical episode on the inner autumn of the menstrual cycle. I also think I have an episode on PMDD as well. So you can go and have a look for those. So I'm going to leave that there. That is a really big topic, and I just think it's a really profound topic. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Do also leave me a review or any comments as well. I'd really, really appreciate that for the podcast. And if you're interested in working with me, I have space for one-to-one and we can talk about this as well in the one-to-one space. And I also teach this in my professional training and how to support clients working with this as well. So I am going to read a poem for you. So this is from an amazing Irish writer called Leanna O'Sullivan. So Leanna O'Sullivan, I had the pleasure of being one of her students. I actually won a poetry prize several years ago, back when I used to spend a lot more time writing poetry. And the prize was that I got to attend one of her courses she was facilitating in a place called Annam Cara down in West Cork. And it was a workshop. It wasn't a huge big deal, but it was a poetry workshop. And she just really wowed me. And she's from there. She's from West Cork. And that part of West Cork does have a lot of ancient Celtic archaeological sites. And she knew a lot about those. And a lot of her poetry is inspired by this Cailleach energy. And this is a poem from her fourth collection. So her fourth collection is called A Quarter of an Hour. And this was written, I guess, inspired by a journey that she and her husband went on. Her husband became very sick several years ago and she wasn't sure if he was going to make it. And then she, you know, she wrote these poems during and after. And in this collection, she embodies the voice of this Cailleach energy. So she's speaking as though she is the Cailleach. So this is, and this poem is, the way I see this poem is very much about this Cailleach speaking to her and giving her wisdom. So this is called The Cailleach to the Widow. The universe said to me, "Old woman, I have learned a few good things. That when one part dies in me, another comes tearing through the darkness like a star, sudden and tender and painful as hell. Each time I have sat at the center of the world to see it. Each time I have crawled the dark of my own belly to not see the shape of the great light coming and the dying one washed in such kindness rising steadily towards it." So thank you very much, Leanne, for that gorgeous poem. And yeah, if anyone is interested in working with me, do reach out to me. You can click the link in the show notes, lisaandyoungcoaching.com. I've also opened the waiting list for my 2023 professional training as well. So you can pop your name down on that. And like I said in last week's episode, I have a limited number of grants available for people who currently cannot afford to do coaching to support you with accessibility around that. So yeah, that's it for me. And thank you for listening. I'd be very curious to hear your thoughts. So send me an email or you can pop over to me on Instagram. And I will talk to you soon. Take good care and have a lovely week. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisaandyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.